DS106 Radio. That was Gary Newman with Cars. And before that, you heard Kraftwerk with The Model on DS106 Radio. It's 4:59 p.m. Central European Time, and I'm about to make a call on the radio. So let me get this going here. This is live radio. We don't play around here. We are coming and we are playing for keeps. Let me know about the levels out there if you're listening on Twitter. Let me know how Taylor's levels are, but I'm going to give him a call right now. And hopefully this works as I hope it does. So I'm going to cough, clear my voice as I'm calling him, and hopefully this will work. Here we go.
Just coughed.
Hello. Hey, is this Taylor Jaden?
Yep.
This is the electrician. I think we have an appointment to come over your house and fix the lights. Is that right?
Sure, but you got to stay 6 feet away at all times.
I like that. You pick up quick on DS106 Radio. So, hey, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, but then I think some congratulations are in order. But please, introduce yourself. You are live on the DS106 Radio, so you know, so no surprises. And let it rip.
All right, cool. My name's Taylor. I live in... near Green Bay, Wisconsin. I work at St. Norbert College in our ITS department, and I support faculty and, you know, technology that they need for teaching and learning. I do a lot of work at the college with our domains, and that's been really fun for the last year or so, two years almost. I'm also a musician and general nerd and a new dad. I have a one-year-old.
So. That's what I was about to talk about. I mean, you have a brand new baby. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Your pictures have been turns, amazing, by the way.
Yeah, she turns one in a couple weeks. So that's been crazy. I don't know where this year went.
Wow, but, she's turning one.
Yeah.
Congratulations, that's crazy. I didn't realize that. I was thinking like maybe 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, no, she was born, May 22nd is her birthday. And it's also mom's birthday, so I have one date to remember.
Funny, it's my sister's birthday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, how about that? May 22nd for life. That's a good one. Okay, so yeah, I have a lot to talk to you about, but we'll talk about the radio exclusive, I mean, not exclusively, but a lot. But right now I'm realizing I'm not duplicating your channel. So I'm an audio hijack, and I'm going to try and duplicate it so you come out of both speakers for anyone who's listening. So hold on. I'm going to turn off this block, and then I'm going to try and actually duplicate it. So let me see. Hold on 1 second. Because this is what a lot of what DS106 Radio is kind of bad radio. Just
that's the best part, right?
It is the best part.
We would go in the radio if you wanted to be a professional.
Exactly. This nothing could be truer than that. Okay, let me see if I can. Oh, there it is, channel. And now I'm going to see if I can duplicate channels. And I got it. And let me try it. And I'm going to duplicate left. Okay, so. Do me a favor and do a test, Taylor. Just say anything. Oh, you can't hear me.
Okay, oh, duplicate I can hear you.
Okay, now you're duplicated. I couldn't hear you because I duplicated the wrong channel. Awesome. You're stereo now.
Awesome. Yeah. So, Audio Hijack is... So I'm on a Windows computer right now because that's what I have at home. But most of the time I'm a Mac guy and... Audio Hijack is something I miss on Windows.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, and like, you know, it's not, I wouldn't describe it as cheap, but for what it does, it's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure it out because I was so like, I'm cheap. So I was all like, oh, you know, I can do this with Ladiocast and I could do this with all the things I have that were free. But then I think it was John Johnston, was like, sit down and play with it. And I did. And I was like, this is amazing.
I just love the, like, I don't know how you want to describe the UI, you know, the like the blocks that you kind of connect up like audio cables. It's genius. Like, yeah. It's really cool.
It's funny. That's what I was just doing. I was pulling in a channel duplicator into like my whole spread out. And, you know, I had the wrong one, realized it, switched it. But it's so easy once you can wrap your head around. It's really easy to do on the fly.
Yeah, when I first started playing with it was for like podcasting. And I was trying to do, basically I had like a Yeti, you know, USB microphone, and I had a second USB microphone, and I didn't have any mixer. So I was like, how can I record both of these? And unless you use something like Audio Hijack, the answer is basically you can't.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I first tried it out, and it's really powerful.
What trips me out on top of Audio Hijack is when you can use Loopback to wrap everything into basically a virtual audio output. And that's just, that's amazing for like doing video streaming online. You know, if you want to bring someone into a Skype call and have them hear your music behind you, it's really cool, actually.
Yeah, I've seen Loopback, and I've seen like Tim's post on it, but I haven't dug into that yet at all. So it looks cool, but the way you describe it makes a little bit more sense to me. I was having a hard time understanding like why I would use it over Audio Hijack, but so it makes its own like output then.
Exactly.
I guess that kind of makes sense.
It's what we used to use. We used to use a tool called Soundflower to do a lot of that. And it basically took Soundflower's place. If you have Audio Hijack, you can do 99% of what you can do in Loopback. But it's those virtual outputs in Loopback that, for me, are really useful when I'm doing the live streaming on TV, or when I want someone to hear something in a call like this that wouldn't depend on me doing it through Audio Hijack. But you could probably do it through Audio Hijack. I'm just not that smart. So just recognizing that off the bat.
Sure.
Now, let me ask you this, Taylor, because I'm already loving this conversation, but I even had an arc for it. I even took some notes, and the notes are pretty simple, but I think they're to the point. Tim and I, when we realized we started DS-106 Radio, kind of emerged, and I don't want to do this as a one-to-one thing, but I think it might be. And you saw what was going on, and you're like, you know what? I think I can build one for myself when I'm just listening to music, so I'm gonna. Is that correct? And if so, why, how, and you're awesome.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. Like, you guys started having a lot more activity on DS-106 Radio in the last couple months with the quarantine stuff, I was like, this is cool. And I have a soft spot for just radio stuff in general. I don't know what it is about it. I think live streaming video is cool, but live streaming audio, it's same thing as like the difference between like making a video and uploading it to YouTube and podcasting. I find podcasting more interesting because there's less overhead. Like, you can have really high quality audio and for very little effort, I mean, comparatively. And so I really like that that element. So same thing, like I will stream to this radio station in situations where I never would like live stream with my webcam to something like YouTube or Twitch or even like DS-106 TV. You know, like I will, you know, just like you were just before this, you know, stream a playlist I'm listening to while I'm working. I would never put my webcam on for that, right? Like, that's not a thing. So anyway, I always kind of like that element. I saw what DS-106 Radio was, I'm like, this is super cool. Simultaneously, I have I've had to help our college radio station at St. Norbert. I've been helping them a little bit with basically just they have a really old setup that they an old computer setup that no one understands how it works. No one understands how the stream works. They came to me because someone was like, oh, yeah, Taylor likes podcasts and stuff. Maybe he can help you. And I was kind of like, I don't know how streaming audio online works at all. And so I kind of started helping them go down the path of like what they could replace it with. And then that was all before the quarantine. It's kind of just those two things aligned. And I was like, well, I should really check this out for my own because I'm interested in it. And maybe I'll learn something useful along the way. And I'd say that's kind of how it's worked out for me.
That's a super cool story. Particularly, that's my favorite kind of ed tech, is the one where like someone in a community, like say a university like yours, St. Norbert's, is like, I think Taylor knows something about audio. And you find yourself in this strange project helping students or faculty or whatever and like learning something and like, I don't know, like having a kind of project that's kind of fun and cool, like building a radio station. I think DS-106 Radio came out of that very logic. Grant Potter was working with the student radio at UNBC, University of Northern British Columbia, and he's like, I can build this for this class, because Brian Lamb was like, we should have a radio station. I was like, that'd be awesome. And so it just basically came out of Grant Potter working with students to build a radio station at a university in British Columbia. So I love that there's something actually like echoing that work. And You have done a brilliant job with your radio station, I have to say. And I want to get into a couple of the details. So let me ask you, you're using AzureCast, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. I'd love to hear how you built the front page for your radio, and I'll tweet it out as you're talking right now. And then I want to hear that Tim told me you might be using APIs to like build and destroy droplets with your radio station on the fly, which I think is freaking brilliant. So I know I'm loading you up with questions because I'm so excited, but you know, answer what you want and disregard the rest.
Oh, sure. I'm totally down to get into nitty gritty details. That's always fun. I am using AzureCast. When I was first playing with this, I wasn't. I was actually just setting up like a Ubuntu server on DigitalOcean and following like some real awful instructions on how to set up IceCast and another piece of software. So basically, IceCast is the software that receives the stream from your computer. And it's what DS-106 Radio uses. It's basically like the only modern piece of software that does this. There's like Shoutcast, if you remember Shoutcast stations from like early 2000s. I mean, they still exist, but they're it's not as common anymore.
I think Stephen Downs has a Shoutcast station.
Yeah, so the thing with Shoutcast is it seems kind of easy to set up in certain ways, but it doesn't support a lot of like modern stuff anymore. Like, I don't, as far as I'm aware, you can't set up Shoutcast with like an HTTPS certificate. I think, obviously, I didn't really dig into it, but anyway, I was just looking into this stuff, and everyone was kind of like, "Yeah, IceCast is the thing you're looking for." So I went with that. Problem is, setting up IceCast is fine, but by default, all it does is receive an audio stream when you broadcast to it. So when you stop broadcasting to it, it's, you know, silence. It's not even silence, it's just offline. So then you need another thing that can do like the auto DJing, like when no one's playing to it, which for a station like mine is really important because it's basically just me and like, you know, I've got friends who I want to help broadcast to this, but it's not going to be as used as something like DS-106 Radio. So then you have to integrate another piece of software that can do that. And it was a lot of setup, and I kind of got it working, but there were some details that weren't working well. And I think at one point, Tim was like, what are you using for like the back end? And I was like, oh, I kind of cobbled together with these three things. And he's like, oh, or something to the effect of like, what back-end software you're using. And I was like, I didn't really realize there was packages that managed all of this. I just didn't do my research, I guess. So then I found out about Azuracast, and I found out that DigitalOcean has a like a one-click installer for it. So that's what I'm using. And that was great because it's pretty straightforward. Like you use the one-click installer, you load up some MP3s. You have to kind of navigate Azuracast itself, which has a lot of different options and things that I don't particularly need for my station. A lot of the kinds of stuff that you would want if you're, you know, running a more professional station. And that's cool. So it was mostly just me figuring out what I didn't need to worry about.
Do you live broadcast? So, like, do you break in on a mic and, like, hey, it's Taylor and it's 6:55 in Wisconsin and we've got, like, no or no?
Just I can, but I don't often.
You don't.
So it's like DS106 radio where there's a playlist of MP3s just, you know, happening in the background. And then I can jump in and broadcast from my computer. And, of course, I'm using, because I'm on a Windows desktop at home, I'm using something called Rocket Broadcaster, which is really simple to use, and it basically can capture an audio output from your computer and mix in a microphone. It can also capture like your entire system audio, which it's not normally what I do because I don't want to, like, you know, Slack notifications and exactly. things to come through radio. yeah, but there is a basically something kind of like Soundflower for Windows. It's called Virtual Audio Cable. And the difference between it and Soundflower is, so the one thing that Windows does well in this regard is there is a system-wide mixer in Windows, and so you can take any application's audio and redirect it to a different output. And that's just built into Windows. So nice. It's kind of like Audio Hijack, sort of, but you know, not most of the bells and whistles, just the put this over here functionality. Anyway, so I just, you know, I take whatever I'm listening to and put it on that output. I'll mix my microphone in, and then I just listen to the actual stream. So if I was to, say, put a Spotify playlist on, I'm not actually listening to Spotify on my computer. It's going out to the radio station, and then I'm listening to the radio station. So, yeah, that works pretty well. I've done some vinyl casts, too, using IzzyCast on my phone. Totally. Which is really cool because I have two turntables in the house. One's in my basement, and one's in our living room, but I don't have anything in my office, which it's not vital, but it's cool to throw my phone on the record player in the living room, have it cast to my radio station, and then be listening to it on my computer, you know, with headphones like during work. So that's been like the most overkill solution, but it's fun.
I've been doing a lot of that too, though, like vinyl casting and then working and then tweeting out. Sometimes I get stuck on the tweets, but it's super like nice to be able to like feel like you're working with an eye towards the web, even though you're still doing your work. I love that piece of it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's super fun. And it's one of those things where it's just a little hobby project that gets me doing something with music, and that's fun. So, like, I always say, for me, like, listening to records is about the activity. So, like, I love Spotify or whatever streaming service. It's great that you have, you know, access to all this music, but I never just sit down and listen to Spotify. I'm listening to Spotify and driving or working or whatever. So playing a record is one of the only times where I'll be like, let's put a record on and nothing else is happening. And I'm just, you know, maybe playing with my daughter. And that's even further when I'm broadcasting. Cause it's like, well, now I need to make sure that like, I don't let, you know, silence happen and forget to flip the record, you know, for 5 minutes, which definitely happens, but you know, who cares?
I do it all the time.
So, yeah, that's been fun.
Can I ask you, I want to go back to something. I'm going to follow up with something else. But I really love the idea you brought up about somehow, and that's someone's boiling water here, just, you know, you can probably hear it very slightly in the background.
Just a little bit.
A little bit, but not perfect audio. Never perfect audio on my DS-106 radio cast. But it brings me to a point you made that I think we might have a listener in Hank Soda, which is the alias for Graham Potter. And one of the things he always argued about DS-106 radio and radio in general, and you echoed it early on, was that a lot of video is just overkill. You're just looking at someone on video and you're not really focusing on, you know, listening in so much as like, are you watching? And he always said, like, you don't really need most of the video. You can just listen to someone and have another channel to respond and comment, which kind of gets to your point about why you prefer podcasts and the radio maybe to like live streaming. And does that make sense? I mean, does that ring true for you as well?
Yeah, totally. Like, it mostly comes down to I don't have any interesting video content to share. You know, I don't play like I like to play video games, but I don't play at a level where anyone would like to watch it. And I'm not really, I mean, you don't have to be good to stream, but I don't know. It's just not something I particularly want to do right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. That's kind of like, otherwise I don't have a lot that I would actually need to share. You know, I've done, when we do, at work, sometimes we'll, do live streams for, like a conference that we're hosting on campus and stuff like that. And so that's fun. But there's a lot of overhead, both technically and, just in setup, right? Like you have to make sure that you've got, you know, your frame, you're pointing your camera at something that looks good, right? You've got to, on a technical side, you have to have a computer that's capable. Streaming audio requires almost no computing hardware comparatively, because you don't really have to compress it that much in comparison. So, I've even done streaming audio while playing. Like for this radio station, one of the cool uses is I play in a remote D&D group Thursday nights, and we'll play audio for our campaign over the radio station,
so
that everyone can be listening to the same thing in the background as if we were, you know, in the same room. And I've done the same thing for playing games too with friends. Like I'll just, you know, put some music on that's appropriate for whatever game we're playing. But I can do that on my computer while playing the game because music streaming is just not that, you know, intensive. It's not that big of a deal.
And you would love loopback for that. You know what I mean? Like if you're all in Skype or whatever you're doing, like everyone could listen to your music right there, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that is the only thing that's a downside is like right now it's like, okay, open my radio station in a browser. So if you're playing whatever game we're playing on a computer, that's easy enough. But if you're on like a console, then that's not really doable. So
well, it's
yeah, I should look into that.
I love pushing your own personal radio. And the whole idea of you're building the radio of one's own is amazing. That's my new name for what you're doing. It's a radio of one's own. But I love the idea of, you know, your ability to spin it up pretty easy. And the point you made about a digital ocean droplet, I've played with the same thing with Azurecast. So let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing and how it's really kind of modeled on what you've done. Because it's always a virtuous cycle. It always is. That's why I love this stuff. Is I went to DigitalOcean. Tim's like, have you seen what Taylor's doing? Check out Azurecast. I spun it up. And I have it set up at reclaimrad.io. So Reclaim Radio. And we want to do something similar. And I've been promising everybody I've been getting it. I was going to get it together. But I dropped the ball as usual. But part of my motivation for talking to you today, amongst all the cool stuff you're doing, is like to talk to you a little bit about how you built that page and how you're working with Azurecast, because I have Azurecast set up, but I'm not having a lot of luck with the web page, and I can't figure out for the life of me how to live stream. Now, I might just have to sit down for an hour and play with it, which is what I'll do, but I'd love to know about your process in building the website, which is at radio.jaden.me, and what's your process of building it out so that you have a playlist when you go live? How do you do that? Like, anything you can say, and the API calls. Like, are you doing that still, or are you just letting it ride all the time?
If you asked me that stuff and I got totally sidetracked. So the key thing here is AzuraCast is not, when you go to radio.jaden.me, that webpage is not served up by AzuraCast actually. It's just got the player embedded on it. And so, like, say if I was to take my digital ocean droplet of AzuraCast and shut it down, what you'd see is the same web page, but there's an iframe for the player, and that would say, hey, I can't get to this. So that is actually, radio.jaden.me is on Reclaim hosting. And the reason I did it that way is because originally when I was playing with just like setting up IceCast by itself, IceCast doesn't really have like a public facing, not like a good public facing UI. You can see this if you go to like DS106 radio and don't put /listen on it. It's just like, yeah, this is like the back end for the radio station. You can't, that's not the public's
exactly. It's a little bit like, ooh.
Yeah. Same thing with AzuraCast. So I don't know if this is the intended way, but this is the way I solved that, was like, well, I'm just going to make a placeholder page and then throw the player, like embed the player on that page, so that while I'm testing out different pieces of software, I can just, you know, modify the page and not have to like do a bunch of stuff with DNS, which, you know, is finicky and I don't fully understand. And when I do get it right, I'm like, yep, leave it. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to touch it.
The dark art of DNS, for sure.
Yeah. So that is, the hilarious part is that page is literally the site publisher in cPanel.
Oh, really?
There's an HTML5 up. I don't remember which one this is, but it's, I'm looking on HTML5 up's website. There's one that has like scrolling pages or scrolling images left or right to left. And then I just, you know, threw my own images in there from, they're just from Unsplash.
That's so cool.
And then I just edited the page. So that took like two minutes, and then a little bit longer to find the images I wanted and throw that on there. And then there's an iframe in the page, which is the player. And AzuraCast has a beautiful, like really nice looking player out of the box that you can use and embed that, you know, has the metadata and will say like who's broadcasting, and it's cool. Really kind of cool.
Yeah.
So that is what radio.jaden.me is, and then I have AzuraCast installed at azuracast.jaden.me, which is on DigitalOcean.
Yeah.
So that is kind of how that works. As far as getting started with AzuraCast, what you're probably needing to do is, AzuraCast doesn't actually have streaming enabled by default. There's like a page where you have to make an account to stream to. And so you generate credentials for that, and then you'll put those into Audio Hijack, just like you have for DS106. The cool thing is you can have different accounts for different people. I mean, I guess DS106 probably has that too, but it'll actually show. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's one shared login for everybody.
Oh, okay. Well, that has a certain charm to it, though.
It's very hacker orientated.
Yeah. So the cool thing about AzuraCast is you can easily make like an account for everyone who should have access. So when you go to the page, like if you go to radio.jaden.me right now, I'm actually rebroadcasting this, and it says live rebroadcast DS106 radio. That's because I made an account called rebroadcast. I also have an account called Taylor, which is what I use most of the time. And then I have made accounts for friends, so when they broadcast to it, it'll show their name there too. So that's kind of cool. And then when I'm not broadcasting to it, it takes that live badge away, and you can kind of tell that it's just a playlist that's playing. as far as creating and destroying stuff, so I had initially tested that, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and the motivation behind that was I'm a cheap person, and
exactly.
The DigitalOcean droplet that I was using when I was doing this stuff not on AzuraCast was like $5 a month, their cheapest one. And for what I'm doing, that's like more than enough, you know, computing power and storage and everything. But the AzuraCast one-click install thing, excuse me,
yeah,
requires a $10 a month droplet. And I was like, okay, that's not like crazy expensive, but for something that like almost no one's listening to 98% of the time, seems kind of stupid.
Exactly.
So I'm leaving this station up pretty much all the time during you know, this right now, with the intention of friends can listen in, and coworkers will, you know, we'll have like a let's listen to the Beatles for an hour together while we all work, stuff like that. But I have the intention of probably just spinning it up when I want it or need it after I'm back to working in the office. So I played with it. I'm not much of a programmer, so I have toyed with Python and have done some stuff with APIs a little bit, but nothing where I would consider myself comfortable or someone you'd actually want to ask questions of. But I found that DigitalOcean actually has this really nice command line tool you can use, and the key to it is it's just really simple. So you can put a basic bash script together, so real simple script that will just say like, hey, spin up an image that is based on this backup. And so I'm going to send you, I don't know, maybe I should just tweet this out. I've got a GitHub repo that I just put up with the script. It's like, for anyone who knows what they're doing, they're going to look at this and go, wow, what an idiot. But
not me. I'll be like, wow, you're amazing.
But basically, here, I'll just tweet this and then put the DS106 radio hashtag on.
Deal.
The script basically just says, hey, find a, so I have a snapshot that I've made of this droplet, and then it, you know, will spin up a droplet. It checks first to see, like, do you have any droplets named AzuraCast right now? If you do, it says, hey, you might want to stop doing what you're doing. Then it spins one up, and the cool thing is it's a command that will run and actually wait for the droplet to be spun up before it continues. So my point is, DigitalOcean building this tool has done all the hard work for me. And then it assigns so I have a floating IP address, so that way I can point my DNS to azuracast.jaden.me all the time. As you might know, when you make a new droplet in DigitalOcean and pretty much every other cloud service, it just gives you an IP address. You don't get to like pick it. So in order to have my new droplet be pointed to the same AzuraCast address that I have set up in my DNS at Reclaim, I need it to always be the same IP. Otherwise, I would have to wait for DNS every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it. And then finally, I have two versions of the radio.jaden.me webpage. One is, like, if you go to radio.jaden.me/offline.html, that is the offline page. It's pretty unsophisticated. My webpage doesn't check for anything. I just simply have the last thing the script does is copy the offline page and put it, or sorry, the online page and put it in place of the index. So it's pretty unsophisticated. That doesn't work great because of browser caching. So sometimes you have to refresh the page after you visited it to get your browser to actually pull in a new one. So
it's pretty maybe slick, though.
If I really wanted to, you know, it's simple. I knew how to do that.
Yeah. Well, the
so
thing
it's
too
the
is,
one method I went with.
I think it speaks to the fact of, like, as you said at the very beginning, this is something that you're interested in, you're playing with. It's very low overhead. It's not like this is mission critical and your friends are going to be like, damn it, Jaden. I can't get this thing to roll. What's going on here? I mean, you're basically doing this and learning about the protocols, a little bit of scripting, command lines, all sorts of stuff that can only help you imagine these environments for other people that you work with on the day to day. It's pretty cool.
Exactly. Yeah, this has turned into, like, this was just like a, yeah, what the heck? I want to see how this works because I like knowing how things work, you know? And now I've already got, especially the scripting of creation of the droplets, I've already got use cases because we have some professors at St. Norbert who've really taken to domains, and then I have one professor in particular who's come to me and been like, hey, I found this open source lab notebook software. Can we install this on domains? And I was like, I don't know. Let's find out. And so I give it a shot, and it turns out, you know, it needs, like, you actually need Docker for this. Yeah, so exactly. So can't run that on shared hosting. So I was like, okay, well, but we can run this on DigitalOcean. It'll be $5 a month. Which isn't expensive for what they're doing, but you know, they don't need it while the class doesn't run.
Exactly.
So the idea, we might do the same thing. We're not doing that right now, but I could totally see us do the same thing. Let's make a landing page that's always online and is just, you know, in your domain of one's own account for this professor, and then have this easy way to spin up this server during the semester and spin it down. And in that case, I probably wouldn't need a script, right? Like, I could just go on DigitalOcean and do it. But to be perfectly honest, I'm not going to remember a year later exactly all the things I did. So for me to have a script is basically like having notes.
Exactly. No. it's brilliant.
And going further, we had the idea, I had the idea that I want to play with like open source video conferencing tools. There's two of them I'm aware of, Big Blue Button and Jitsi.
Right.
And both of them look kind of cool. I mean, I haven't really played with them yet, so I have no idea how well they work. But I know for either one of them, I would need a pretty significant server or droplet on DigitalOcean to run it. It's not something we would use as like, oh, our campus uses Jitsi for all video calls. No, but maybe, you know, for specific events or when we want to do, like, both of those tools let you stream to YouTube.
Yeah.
And our campus's video calling solution, Google Meet, bafflingly does not stream to YouTube, even though it's made by Google. So that's a common use case, is that we want to take this call and stream it. And so we have to use Zoom for that, which... fine, but we have to buy a license for Zoom. I'm not a big fan of Zoom, and yeah, it's fine. But it would be kind of neat to have our own solution.
Yeah, one-off.
So my thought was
you can spin up, you can spin down, you pay for the $2 you used it for an hour, and you're done.
Yeah, exactly. And $2 would be on the high end, right? Like,
exactly.
Like, if we're talking about a couple hours, it's you know, maybe $1 or so. And then you pay for the snapshot, but the snapshot in DigitalOcean doesn't cost very much. I think my snapshot of radio.jaden.me costs, like, it's only like 8 gigs. It costs me like cents to store that in a month. So there's two scripts here, the start radio script that I tweeted out, and then there's a stop radio, which, you know, spins, it shuts down the server, it takes a snapshot, and then it will replace, well, first it replaces the web page with the offline web page on radio.jaden.me. It takes a snapshot, and then it deletes the droplet. So it works pretty well, and what I'm doing, I think, is, again, for someone who maybe is like a web developer who's familiar with cloud infrastructure, they're probably like, yeah, that's bread and butter. But I'm not that. So this is working well, but it's one of those things where, like, if someone wants to do this, feel free to, you know, model your stuff after my code. I have no idea how reliable this is going to be. There was a time, and I can't for the life of me figure out what exactly happened, but there was a time where when I restored my server, it somehow broke my certificate for HTTPS. And I could not tell you what I did to fix it. but it seems like that was a fluke. Most of the time, you know, it just comes back and works great. So I still have more learning to do with this part of it. This was one of those things where I tested that this was theoretically possible with just some command line stuff a couple weeks ago. And then I tweeted about it being like, oh, I should look into this. And then when you tweeted at me on Monday or Sunday being like, yeah, I want to learn how that works. I'm like, I should make sure that it works. So that was good motivation.
I'm glad I exude that kind of pressure on people. That's really good to know.
Well, I don't know. I'm one of those people that I'm amazing at starting projects and not following through. So this is one of those things where I was like, this is good a reason as any to finish this script that I started working on and didn't really, you know, finish up. But I think while what I've learned here is will be great for making this radio station cheap, I think I legitimately will use this at work. And I could see this being something where we can kind of extend our use of domains in an interesting way. So like at work, I'm on our academic technology team. I'm not on our like infrastructure team, right? So I don't have like we certainly have, you know, servers and things at St. Norbert that we could do this type of stuff on and just leave it running and it wouldn't cost that much money. But I really love tools like DigitalOcean to allow me to just try something and then be like, that didn't work, and delete it, and I don't have to ask anybody, and I'm done 2 hours later, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's really cool for that. And I like the idea of having this process be simple so that we can actually say, like, well, I'm not going to tell a professor that, like, hey, this is going to be great. It'll never be down. You know, no, you have to be willing to experiment with me a little bit. But, you know, we can do this at very low cost and basically low enough cost where I can tell them, don't worry about the cost. So we've actually toyed around with the idea of at work, because one of the neat things you can do on DigitalOcean, I'm sure other things do this too, but you can like load up an account with money instead of it doing recurring billing.
Yeah.
So we had the idea of having professors basically request like, hey, I'd like to run this application, and then basically request, you know, say $300, and we'd say, great, that's not that much money, and that'll last you years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in a couple of years, you request more money, whereas like, for us to charge them $5 a month to their department is kind of obtuse.
I love that. I mean, you're really hitting so many, like, I'm going to say Tim, if he's not listening, should really listen to this after, because we're thinking about something along those lines. And Grant Potter, who's listening, called it on the Twitter. He said, pop up ed tech. And what you're describing is really akin to, you know, they do some stuff like this up in Canada and particularly in BC with the OpenETC project. And you're talking about something that you're doing with DigitalOcean, which is really similar, like the ability to find an image, install an application, test it out. Is this something we really want to invest months in to have it on a homegrown server to make sure that we can manage it, support it? It's like, it takes so much of the management of that, not to mention what you're talking about with putting money in a prepaid account and letting faculty run applications for months, if not years, based on what they need to build for their environment. And I was talking with Brian Olendike last week, and one of the things he brought up that I thought was really smart and thoughtful was the idea that as we all move online, and we've had to in these last months, how weird is it that we all share, like, we're all doing Zoom, we're all on Canvas, we're all like, it's a little bit like the well-lighted, you know, fluorescent waiting room that all university spaces digitally take on. And your webpage for your radio, just as one example, was a breath of fresh air. It looked cool. It was a new experience. It felt like the web. And can we provide these spaces for our faculty and students as we move into a kind of potentially brave new world of online learning is a really good question. And you're in the catbird seat for experimenting with that stuff. So you rock.
Well, thanks. It's been fun, and it's been cool to experiment with this stuff. You know, most of the stuff that I, the decisions, like the technical decisions here, is just been stuff that I just fell into because it's either what I had available or it's what I saw people doing. You know, even like DigitalOcean as a platform itself, I have not worked with any cloud platform. The only reason I'm using DigitalOcean is because I know that's what you guys use at Reclaim. So I was like, sure, I'll, that works with me. $5 a month sounds good. you know, and I've looked at like AWS and Google Cloud, and I don't need what those platforms can do. But it just kind of worked out that as I was digging into this stuff, DigitalOcean has really easy tools for doing this stuff for even someone who is not really a developer. So,
and it's a big
it's
deal.
It's been really interesting.
Like the thing you're talking about with Azurecast, and I installed it too, like a package, you can one click install. Here's how you use the app. Go. I mean, it's not yet at the level where you can set maybe anyone free on that because of DNS and
sure.
certain other things, but it's getting close. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're getting really yeah. close to where you could imagine a cloud-based system that's even simpler that you're deploying at universities based on, you know, need. And like you said, mm-hmm. spinning up a Jitsi for an hour for 35 cents and, you know, having a whole different approach to a toolkit than even, you know, domain of one's own, which is very limited to the LAMP stack. It's super interesting stuff.
And I think there's a lot of opportunity to blend those two. Like, I always love kind of how, like, the LAMP stack is, can be so affordable, right?
Yeah.
And so, again, this is a case of I don't want radio.jaden.me to be empty when I have it spun down. I want it to be like, yeah, this is here, but we're not using it right now, you know? And so for me to do that on my shared Reclaim hosting is perfect because I'm already paying for that for other things. It's pretty inexpensive to begin with. It's great. And then I don't have to say keep like a DigitalOcean droplet spun up. It's just like serving one web page. That would be insane. Well, maybe not that insane, but it for my needs, insane. So I really like how these tools can kind of mix. I talk to students at work, I train a group of students we call Tech Bar Consultants. It's kind of like oh my God, I'm blanking on the name, but it's modeled after the DKC at UMW.
Yeah, Digital Knowledge Center. Yeah.
Yes. I always tell them that like most of these web technologies they're technological onions, right? Like how much you want to understand depends on how many layers you want to peel back. You know, like we can talk about how to run a WordPress site, but if you're interested in more, we can talk about what's a database and what's PHP. And if you want to learn more, we can talk about what is that server that is hosting that database like. And, you know, when you get even just a very basic understanding of that there are multiple layers to these things, you can do really interesting things by mixing them. Like, I don't understand how databases really work or PHP. I just know that that's kind of what the M and P and LAMP stand for, right? MySQL and PHP. And you don't have to be a computer science student or a programmer to get some benefit by learning how these technologies interact at a very basic level. Before I worked at St. Norbert, I was a band teacher. So I have no training in this stuff. It's just something I'm interested in. And I think having that, just that little bit of curiosity and someone who can kind of point you in the right direction can be powerful.
It's funny because a lot of the DIY community around DS106, Reclaim, the work we did, you brought up DKC, the work at UMW and well beyond, are people like you. Curiosity, not much tech experience, but like, you know, hammering away at that. And I think, you know, I mean, the history will tell the tale, but I think a lot of that stuff has been really generative to a community and to a sense of ed tech that's affordable. And I think keeping a cheap eye on this stuff is super important. And Tim asked on Twitter whether I'm recording this because he sees this as an inflection point for Domain of One's Own, your conversation. And I think you're more prescient right now than you even realize in terms of things we're thinking about. And I think it's cool. I think your approach to ed tech and the work you're doing with not only DigitalOcean and the radio, but Domain of One's Own more broadly is super cool. So thank you for that. There's that.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And congratulations on fatherhood.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been by far the coolest thing I've ever done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember when my first was born, I had like almost what felt like a high for 6 months. And I just like the world just was different. You know what I mean? Like nothing would ever be the same again. And I don't think you go back from that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I feel really lucky, especially right now with, you know, everyone being at home. I feel like I'm very fortunate because when I'm not working, I get all of my interest and time I have something super interesting to do. I get to play with Nat. I get to see what she's doing. It's been really cool, and I don't want to diminish how difficult this is for people, but I have been fortunate to be able to spend more time with her. So that's been a benefit for me.
Absolutely, yeah. How can it not be? I mean, it's such a crazy age, and mine are, you know, the youngest is 10, the oldest is 15. So, you know, we look back, me and my wife were just like reminiscing yesterday about our years with the babies in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So yeah, it's awesome. Good for you. You know, it's wonderful. And hey, Taylor, thank you for coming on DS106 Radio. Thank you for sharing all of your knowledge and stuff. I have to now get on AzureCast and figure that piece out. So if I email you, you know what it's about.
And yeah, totally. Feel free to.
No, it's cool, man. Your work has been super inspiring, and I really appreciate you being so willing to come on the radio. Thanks, man.
Thanks. It was fun. I'd love to do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Well, take care. Get back to your family and have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye, bud.
Bye.
This is DS106 Radio. That was an awesome conversation with Taylor Jaden. I'll hopefully have that posted. Tim, I do have a recording because I'm kind of an expert. I don't know if you guys knew that about me. I'm kind of a big deal on the internet. And that was a fun conversation. I love DS106 Radio. You know that? I'm not going to lie. People